Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our series of messages, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. The vital question that we want to answer this morning is, what in the world is a witness? What in the world is a witness? Well, I'm sure you know, a witness is somebody who shares the story of something that they have seen, that they know for sure, that is their personal experience. Would you turn with me, if you have a Bible handy, to Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, and I'd like to read the first chapter. Follow me if you have a Bible handy. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, such an exciting story about the witness of the gospel, the good news about Jesus that goes to Thessalonica in the first century. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe sufferings, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God, the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us. What in the world is a witness? What in the world is a witness? Well, my friend, you may not be a Jehovah's Witness. You may not be a part of that sect called Jehovah's Witnesses, but if we're followers of Jesus, we are Jehovah's Witnesses. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, you are a witness. You have a testimony to give, a personal true story of your encounter with Christ, your personal experience of God's great salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of eternal life. In the New Testament, we discover that the witness and testimony of every person who responds to the good news about Jesus and is born again is immediately made public in believers' baptism by immersion in water. Baptism is the first step of obedience to be taken by every believer, every convert to Christ. The witness of the new believer is made visible for all to see. The old life of self-centeredness and sin has been buried and put away once and for all. We have been raised up by Christ and in Christ to live a brand new life where he is Lord. This was the witness of 3,000 Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in the first century, 2,000 years ago, and the pattern of the New Testament church, community of believers in Jesus, ever since, as the gospel has been taken to every people group and culture in the world, the pattern of the gospel, the pattern of the New Testament is the same. The Acts of the Apostles tells the story of the early or the infant church, and that story is still being written. Every time a person came to faith in Christ, repenting of their sins, receiving Christ by faith as their Savior and Lord, that was demonstrated in believers' baptism by immersion in water, and that was their initiation into the believing community of God's people. They joined the band of witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace and power. How I thank Jehovah this morning that 65 years ago, he sent two witnesses to Plumtree School, Eric Crush, my English teacher, and Angus Burns, my chemistry teacher, way back when Zimbabwe was the British colony of southern Rhodesia. And Angus Burns and Eric Crush bore witness to the saving grace of Jesus in their lives, and they started a Sunday afternoon Christian Union group in our school, where they told us about Jesus and the difference he had made in their personal lives. They were good witnesses, those two men. How I thank God for their witness and testimony that awakened me to the reality of Christ and the blessing of eternal life through faith in him. Their lives and their words spoke of the reality of their risen Lord and Savior. And that's how it should be with every Christian. Derek Prime says, and I quote, "Christian witness is the privilege and duty that arises from the experience of God's salvation in Jesus. It is commanded by God, centered in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the spontaneous and natural consequence of a life-changing encounter with Jesus." I love the way Derek Prime puts that. It is the spontaneous and natural consequence of a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the apostles, every Christ follower should sense a natural compulsion to share what has happened to them. How can you not be a witness to Jesus when you have been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, when you've been lifted out of a pit of miry clay, as the Bible puts it in the Psalms, when you've come out of darkness into God's marvelous light, when you've been transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son? How can you be quiet about it? How can you not display the difference that Jesus makes in your life? When you have been cleansed from sin through the precious blood of Jesus, shed on the cross 2,000 years ago, when you've been raised from spiritual death to life and you are bound for heaven, how can it not show? As the Apostle Paul says to the Christians at Corinth, if any person is in Christ, there's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ compels us, constrains us. The Apostle said, we cannot help but bear witness to what we have seen and heard. So it should be for every authentic Christ follower. I just can't help bearing witness to what I've both seen and heard and experienced of Jesus and his saving grace. In the Old Testament era, God chose Israel to be his witness in the world, to be a light to the Gentile nations. Through the prophet Isaiah, God declared, "You are my witnesses, whom I have chosen, I, even I, the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior." Isaiah 43, verses 10 and 11. 7 centuries later, Jesus came to bring salvation to all mankind. And before he ascended back to heaven, he said to his disciples, "You will bear witness to me. You will be my witnesses from where you stay to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So let's break this down now into 3 vital questions. Question number 1, who do we bear witness to as Christ followers? Question number 2, what are the qualifications of a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ? And question number 3, how should we do it? Question number 1, how do we bear witness? Who do we bear witness to? Who do we bear witness to? That is so important to get this straight. Friend, we don't bear witness to ourselves. We don't bear witness to our church. We don't bear witness to our network of churches or our denomination or our personal convictions or our pet doctrines or teachings. We bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, who became truly man, so that we, the sons and daughters of men, might once again become the sons and daughters of God. We bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, his person as truly God and truly man, and his work, as he was born without sin, born of the Virgin, having been conceived of the Holy Spirit, lived a life that was sinless, died a death on the cross that we could not die, as the sinless Son of God. He offered up his life for our sake, in our place, paid our debt. We bear witness to what God has achieved through his Son Jesus, the death of Christ on the cross, and the resurrection of Christ from the dead, an event we were powerless to achieve. The message of light and life that springs from these saving events of Jesus when he came to this earth to be our sin-bearer, our substitute, and our Savior. This message is good news, and it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. The Old Testament saints were exhorted to make known among the nations what God has done. In the New Testament, witness is telling forth what Jesus has done. When Jesus delivered the demonized man who lived in the cemetery at Gadara, he told him to go home to his family and tell them how much the Lord had done for him. That's what a witness does. That's who we witness to, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for us. The Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthian believers how the apostles' testimony about Christ was confirmed among them, the message of Christ's death and resurrection. If you have your Bible with you, then turn with me for a moment to Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. That's 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul has this to say in his letter to the Corinthians. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Listen to this. For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance. What is the message? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The cross of Jesus was central to the apostolic witness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'll turn back to that, if you have your Bible still open, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians and the second chapter, the Apostle Paul says, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Who do we bear witness to? The Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection that has brought us salvation. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the good news is what Jesus accomplished on the cross, where he died in our place, paid our debt. And so the good news also is the news of the empty tomb, that on the third day he was raised from the dead. And writing to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has these wonderful words that are really worth hearing in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll read from verse 14 if you'd like to follow in your Bible. Paul says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we're then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, says the Apostle Paul, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. then those who have fallen asleep, those who have already died as Christians, are lost. If in this life only, he says, we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. As in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. The resurrection of Jesus, along with his death on the cross, then, is what we bear witness to as Christians. Who do we bear witness to? Not ourselves, not our church, not our denomination, not our fantastic worship team and band, not the lighting and sound and effects in our wonderful auditorium. We don't bear witness to our cherished doctrines or pet themes. Friends, as authentic followers of Jesus, we bear witness to Jesus Christ himself, his person and his work, the one who is able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Who do we bear witness to? Jesus. What are the qualifications of a witness, secondly? It's a vital question because witness cannot be separated from the life and conduct of the individual Christian and the local church. I'd like to repeat that. It's a vital question because witness cannot be separated from the life and conduct of the individual Christian and the local church. God have mercy upon us, whereas Christians, we fail because our lives bear a bad testimony. The witness of our words must match the witness of our lives. The witness of our lives must match the witness of our words. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians in his second letter to them, you are God's letter, read of all people. You are God's letter. As Christians, we are God's letters to the world. Our life should be read and should bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life may be the only gospel that some people will ever read, dear friend. Paul hits the nail on the head when he says to the Philippian believers, and here if you'd like to turn to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippian believers in the Philippian epistle, and reading from chapter 2 and verse 14, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. That's what the life of the Christian should be, a shining light in a dark world. The Apostle Paul has this word for Peter has this word for wives who have unbelieving husbands. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, wives, in the same way be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. This should be so with every Christ follower. The world should be able to look at us and see the purity and the reverence of our lives, that our beauty does not come from outward adornment or our profession or what we've achieved in life in terms of position or status or anything else. Our witness is showing the life of Jesus Christ in the life in which we live. It's so important as Christians to live a life that is holy, that is righteous, that is a picture of Jesus' life. David, Israel's favored king, failed God abysmally in the matter of adultery with Bathsheba. But if you read Psalm 51, it's David's psalm of repentance And it's worth reading again and again. And David, when he had truly repented of his sins, cried out in Psalm 51, "Once, Lord, you have forgiven me and cleansed me and restored me and restored the life of fullness in the Holy Spirit. Then," he says, "then, when my life is right again, right with you, Lord, when my life is right with you again, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." David knew that his life would be fruitless, if he was a bad witness. But he knew that if his life was right with God, and a witness and a clear testimony before others, then people would be able to take note, and then people would listen to his message, and then people would be converted to the Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." The Apostle Paul, writing to these Thessalonians, was able to say of them, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit." And listen, "And so you became a model to all the believers in the provinces of Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." What a wonderful witness. What made the difference? The fact that, as Paul says in the later verses, they turned to the living God from the dead idols of their life to serve the living God and to wait for his Son Jesus from heaven, whom he had raised from the dead, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What are the qualifications of a witness? A person who is walking humbly and righteously before God. Nevertheless, witness is primarily through the words of our mouth. As somebody said, there are times when silence is golden, but sometimes it's just plain yellow. There comes a time when we have to verbally, with our mouths, share the good news about Christ and bear a witness to Christ with our words as well as our deeds. In Acts chapter 16, there's the wonderful story of the Apostle Paul and his companion ministry being imprisoned in Philippi. And God released them from the prison. And the jailer, who was so impressed by the fact that they didn't escape, but were concerned about the jailer, that he wouldn't take his life because the prisoners had escaped. And the jailer invited them to his home, and he cried out, "What shall I do to be saved?" When he saw the witness of Paul and Barnabas. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." And so the Philippian jailer and all his household were baptized in the small hours of the morning, filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus and filled with joy. And the Apostle Paul, of course, there had to come the time when he was able to verbally share the good news about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, says the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. And so, what in the world is a witness? A witness is a born-again believer. Who do we bear witness to? We bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we bear witness to. What are the qualifications of a witness? A witness is a person who is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and whose life should show the beauty of the life of Jesus Christ. Our third question is this: how should we bear witness? How should we bear witness? Here's the best part of this commission to be a witness to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, before he ascended, Jesus told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, he said, "You shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, from where you stay to the ends of the earth. Ah, friends, how should we witness? Not in our own strength, but through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit of God, our helper. The disciples of Jesus were powerless until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they became witnesses to their world. And my, what witnesses they became. The Holy Spirit of God in the life of the true follower of Jesus produces the fruit of Christ's life and character. It's described as the fruit of the Spirit in Paul's letter to the Galatians. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the trusting, obedient follower of Jesus. And so, how should we witness? Not in our own strength, but trusting the Holy Spirit of Jesus, who indwells us as believers, to give us not only the boldness, but all the ability that we need to bear a good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is when that happens, where the life of a believer speaks volumes. The late Dr. Truett, who was one of the greatest preachers that America has produced, tells the story of how one Sunday an elderly lady told him as she left the church and shook his hand, "I gave my life to the Lord Jesus last Sunday." For a moment, the preacher's heart swelled with pride, and he said, "I'm so glad to hear it. Was it my sermon in the morning service or the evening service?" And she said, Oh, no, it wasn't the sermon. It was when I was leaving the church last Sunday morning, I nearly slipped on the steps and fell. And a man saw my plight, and he caught me before I fell to the ground. And he lifted me up, and he looked into my face with such compassion and concern. And he held me tight until I'd got my balance, and then he helped me down the steps to my car. And I thought, if Jesus can do that in a young man's life, then I want to be a Christian. Well, what a wonderful thing to have a witness to Jesus, where our life shows the difference because of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is within us and his enabling. I love this quotation from Scotty Smith. He says, "Lord, I want your love to be so compelling that I don't even think of witnessing to people, just loving them and serving them. Lord, I want your love to be so compelling that I don't even think of witnessing to people as though it's my duty, just loving and serving them." I remember hearing the late Dr. Stephen Alford sharing at a conference in Kenya years ago where there were a lot of international speakers, and then a local bishop in Kenya was to be the last speaker of the morning, but the other speakers had taken up all his time. And so when he came onto the platform, his time had already been taken by the speakers that preceded him. But he was very well known in Kenya. And he stood up and said one sentence, one very brief sentence. Moving to the microphone, he said, "My life is my message." And he sat down. And Dr. Stephen Alford said, "That was the best message of the whole conference. Everybody knew this man, and they knew his life. It was a reflection of the wonderful grace, life, love, and power of Jesus." Witness with your life, dear friend, and when it's necessary, use words. Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." How we thank God for those who have given their lives through the centuries to bear a witness to Jesus Christ and his gospel. It was an amazing thing when Adoniram Judson went to Burma, as it was then called, and by the time that he left, there were so many Burmese people who had come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of his witness. And today there are more than 2 million believers in Myanmar, and 40% of the current people to whom Adoniram Judson directed his ministry are now Christians. What a powerful witness to the Lord Jesus. In 1900, China was increasingly embroiled in political conflict, and the movement known as the Boxers rose up, who tried to exterminate Christianity and the Christian missionaries from Shanxi province. On August 30th, 1900, Willie and Helen Peet, two of their daughters and two women with them, were martyred. The couple and their children of several missionaries who were martyred at that time. Throughout China, at that time, 188 missionaries and missionary children were killed during the Boxer Rebellion. Of these, 159 were martyred in Shanxi province in China. But do I need to remind you of the fact that today in China, there are millions and millions of sincere, humble followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church in China is one of the most powerful churches in the world. How we thank God that when we take up our cross and follow Jesus, when we're willing to be his witnesses, there is nothing that God cannot do. There is no power that can stand against a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip was the first, Stephen rather, was the first martyr of the New Testament church. He was brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Council of 70 in Jerusalem, and given an opportunity to share his witness with this august body of the Sanhedrin. And when he finished his sermon saying, "You stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers, you always resist the Holy Spirit." They predicted the coming of the Righteous One, the prophets did, and now you have betrayed and murdered him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. That Saul became Paul the Apostle. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What an amazing witness Stephen was. And as a result of his witness, Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the followers of Jesus, encountered Jesus. His life was changed, and he became the great apostle to the nations. And the apostle Paul spent the rest of his life faithfully bearing witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, his master, his savior, his Lord and friend. Dear friend, there's no greater privilege than being a witness to the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again for our salvation. I hope that you are Jehovah's witness. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful way in which you've made yourself known to us in Jesus, the way in which you have visited us and paved the way to redeem us from all for all eternity. And so we praise you for the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and for his ascension, his present mediation and intercession and priesthood. his sovereign reign, and we thank you that soon Jesus will return to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords eternally. And so help us, dear Lord, to bear witness to Jesus faithfully in our daily lives, because we recognize that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But in that day it will be too late for those who have not received him as their Savior. And so I pray that those who hear this message, if there are any who do not know Jesus as their Redeemer, Savior, Shepherd, and Friend, that this will be the day where they will pray the sinner's prayer and say, Lord Jesus, believing that you died for my sins on the cross, I now receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Believing that you rose from the dead on the third day, that you're alive forevermore, I invite you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life. Give me the power and the grace to bear witness to Jesus until my dying day. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong. Our days within his hand, what comes apart from his command, and what will keep us to the end, the love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing
Christ is ours forevermore.